Oh, thank you very much. Thrive is our family. It's in our, and it's our home, spiritual home. And we love you all. And we love God. Turn to somebody and say, this is a good place to be. Turn to somebody else and tell them the same story. It's a good place to be. Amen. Well, we're going to share some scripture today that we trust will help us to understand more and more about God's plans for us and how He wants us to live out our lives to the full. We're titling our message today, Going for the Best and the Greatest. We want to go for the best, not the worst. We want to make this a better world. We want to become better people to make this a better world. As God works in us, He works in our world and changes things around us, and that's what it's all about. And Ephesians chapter 3, it says this. We want to grasp how wide, how long, how deep is the love of Christ, so that we can be filled with the fullness of God. God wants to fill us. He wants to fill us. He wants to infuse our lives so that we can infuse the lives of others in a possible, every possible way. This has been a great series so far. Many practical biblical lessons, and there's just a lot of good word that's come through the different speakers that have been sharing with us on this subject of light, love, infusion. Martin Luther King, who led the way for freedom for the blacks in America, said, love is the strongest force on earth. It's a powerful thing. This thing called love is a powerful thing. We want to learn a little bit more about that. Gandhi, he said, where there is love, there is life. We'll talk more about that later as well. Then Jesus, above all the different people who have something to say about love, Jesus is, of course, the ultimate of insight, wisdom, and importance. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. If you want to be a joyful person, be a loving person. And we need to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. The church is a place of love that we grow and grow more and more into. Where true love reigns, it's the safest place on earth. All of us want to be there these days. You know, there's war in the Middle East and war in the Ukraine, different wars around the globe that have happened and are yet to happen. God deliver us from that, but it seems it is the way that people go. And part of the reason why people are failing in this world to have peace is because they fail to have love. If we have love in our hearts, we will not have war. We want to live in freedom. We got to have the love of God. And therefore, we want to grow in this love and make heaven to come to earth. The closest place to being like heaven is where love is. When Adam and Eve first appeared on this planet, many, many years ago, thousands of years ago, they were made to love each other. And then something else came in, and war came into their family. And Cain killed his brother Abel. And it was a horrible thing. You have this lovely nuclear family, and then this horrible thing comes in, and a man kills his own brother. I say, wow, deliver us from that. Say with me, deliver us from that. Deliver us from that. We don't need that. We don't want that. The kingdom of God, or the place where God reigns, is where there is love. We want love to reign in our families, even in the workplace, in business, in our neighborhood, in our church. The Bible says that love does no ill toward his neighbor. It loves, and there's wonderful, wonderful vibes where there's love. There's terrible vibes where there's hatred. Those are two of the opposites, and we don't want hatred. We want love. Can you say amen? We want love to reign everywhere, in every relationship. That is God's will for our lives. People are drawn to where there is love. Over the years, I grew up in the church, and in my young days as a young boy, I remember the love vibes that were in the church when I went to church. Even as a young boy, there was just something healthy. There was something good about going to church. There was such a sense of, hey, I love this. I just want to be here, and where God is glorified and kind words are spoken, and people are building up each other in faith. People are testifying. It used to be where I grew up in days gone by, part of the service was they used to have people testify, or they would tell the things that God was doing in their life last week. And I remember some of the stories. And some of the people shared their stories with tears in their eyes because they were so thankful to God for what he had done in that particular week or in that particular situation. And love was reigning there. Love was ruling there. The kingdom of God was ruling because love was there. People run away from where love is not. Why do people leave churches and, you know, disappear, never to come back again? It's not because love was strong in that church. It was because there was something other than love that crept in. And maybe it was gossip or criticism or whatever the case might be, but it was a negative thing that came in, and so people run away. But where love is, people run to that church when they hear about that church, they hear some of the stories, they say, wow, there must be love there. That's where I want to be. I want to be where love is. And so I think that's all part of our experience. Over the years, pastoring the church, and we pastored one church for 43 years, and many times people would come to me over the years and they would say, Pastor, I just feel something so good here. It feels to me like love is here. And I kind of feel that when I come to Thrive. I kind of walk in the door and I see people talking to each other and shaking each other's hand and blessing each other and saying kind words, doing kind deeds. I'd say, well, I think love is here. And that's what should be happening in church. Church should be a place where love is, not a place where love isn't. We want it to be a place where love is. And where love reigns, there's dignity. There is a holy attraction. There are kind, appreciative words, like we heard from Pastor JB this morning, and he was talking about things around here. Kind, appreciative words. There's emotional fulfillment. Where true love is, our emotions are healed, and there's a fulfillment on the inside of us. Our hearts are touched by something that only God can touch, that only God can do, and only love can do. The look of desire is there when we meet each other. That's love. It's the place where we want to be. For sure, it's not some kind of sissy deal, but it's the ultimate of character when we talk about love. There are four kinds of love in Scripture, in the Greek word. I'm not going to go into the Greek with you this morning, except to mention the English translation. Friendship love, romantic love, parental love, where parents love their children, And then there is God's unconditional love. I'll give you the Greek word for that. It is agape. And that's God's unconditional love. It's such a high love. Humanly, we cannot reach it. We cannot go the distance that God has gone or that Jesus has gone. When God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he went the distance and he gave this unconditional love. And he continues to give unconditional love to us. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at the love chapter here. I'm going to ask you will help me to read this, and we'll all read it together. There we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love, let's go. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. And there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when... What is in part? Let's back up and do that again. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. But when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childhood behind me. For when we see in reflection as in a mirror, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Wow. Can somebody say a loud amen to that? Amen. This chapter gets down to what love is and what love is not. It is not necessarily fair speeches and those kinds of things. Words can be empty, clangy, and really not hit the mark. We can speak with the tongues of men and angels, but it's not the ultimate. Prophetic unveilings of the future and mysteries, we say, wow, that's great, but without love, it's not all it can be. The Corinthians were caught up in some of those things more than they were caught up in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 deals with prophecy and tongues and so forth. And it seemed that the Corinthian church did not have what was in the middle, what was in between the two of them, that was prophetic words and all of those kinds of manifestations. They did not have love happening in their lives as a priority. 1 Corinthians 13 gets down to what love is and what it is not, as I've already mentioned. And it's not just some of those things that are mentioned, because those things will cease, they will come to an end, but love is an eternal value, and it's an eternal life thing that goes on in our lives as we invite God to work in us. We want the full meal deal. We want the very best. We want to go for the best and for the greatest. We want to have love infusion into everything that happens in the church and beyond the church. Can you say amen? Infusing love into everything. These will pass away. Gifts and prophecy will pass away. Paul, in that portion of scripture, has said some of this is comparatively childlike. You know, it's not maturity. Maturity is where love is, where there is no maturity, there is no real love. God, help us to have real love operating in our lives, in our church, and everywhere we go. He said you can have faith that moves mountains. How we love to see that. I like to see the operation of faith. But you know what? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, faith works by love. Let me say that again. Faith works by love. You know, there's some people who just want to get up and get out there and do the miraculous and see the power of God. That's all good. But genuine faith works the very best, reaches its maximum when love is involved in our faith. We have the ultimate kind of faith. You don't have love in your faith. You don't have compassion in your faith. Then it will not work as strong as it should, because faith works by love. Jesus was a prime example of this, because the Bible tells us that Jesus was moved by compassion. When he saw the multitudes, when he saw the sick, he was moved by compassion. It was love that was undergirding everything that Jesus did. Even when he would bring maybe a strong word that would bring people into order, his heart was broken concerning what people were doing, and faith was working by love through our Jesus. And the same thing in this day. If we're going to see the miracles that we want to see happening the way we want to see God doing it in an extensive way, then we must believe for love to operate in our faith. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, even though I give all I possess to the poor and sacrifice my body to hardship and boast in that without love mixed in, he says, I gain nothing. Love is the key. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith is great, hope is great, but love is the greatest. And it needs to be mixed into all that we do. Great churches have these three qualities. I'm not preaching against faith, I'm a faith man. I'm not preaching against hope, I believe that hope is great. To have hope as the anchor of the soul is wonderful. But love is the greatest. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul speaking to the Thessalonica church, he says, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. All right, the Thessalonica church produced good works by faith. Your labor prompted by love. There was faith there. There was love there, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So faith, love, and hope were in that church working in a powerful way. And that church, their faith spread around the globe in that then known world, and they had a powerful impact around the globe because love was involved in their faith, and in their hope. Chapter 4, verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write you. You yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Notice, you know, while they were operating in faith, while they were operating in hope, this whole thing of love was foundational. It was like the foundation of everything that was happening in that great church. We want to be that kind of church. Can you say amen? We want to have We want to have hope. We want to have faith. But we want to have brotherly love. We're going to talk more about that as we move along. Chapter 5, verse 8 talks about putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So faith, love, hope mixed together made it a great place and a great ministry to function in the city and in the world. Where do we find love? Well, we can look for love in the wrong places. But I want to boil it down to something very simple this morning as to where we will find love. Find God and you find love. That's number one. Find God, find love. Say that with me. Find God, find love. Who is God? God is love. When you find God, when you become acquainted with God, when you have a personal relationship with God, you find what you're looking for. And that is you find love. Number two, find the Holy Spirit and you find love. The Bible tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So you have an encounter with God that makes it possible for us to be loving people. You have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden something changes in your life, and love is springing forth for others because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are filled with love. We fail to love when we fail to have the Holy Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit is operating powerfully in our lives, when the anointing and grace is there, we care about people. We love people. We love others. We love God. It's a story of love. You find God, you find love. Find the Holy Spirit, you find love. This was quite a number of years ago. We were introduced to a powerful movement of the Holy Spirit. And our church meetings would start. We did this for 9 days straight. And our meetings would start like at 6 o'clock at night. And they would go through till 3 o'clock in the morning. And the purpose of those meetings was just to expose ourselves to prayer and allow the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I'll never forget how this touched some people's lives. So they became such loving people as a result of those encounters with God and there's these encounters with the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to come to the meeting that is announced, where there'll be prayer and there'll be an openness to the Holy Spirit that Pastor JB spoke of just a few moments ago. Because when we expose ourselves to God and to the Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad or brought forth by the Holy Spirit, and it can change your life forever. I might better say it will change your life forever. And I'm going to refer to one person who actually was one of our employees who came to that time, and she was so filled with the Holy Spirit that she could not stop praising God and continuing in an atmosphere of the Spirit for days. And she was just overwhelmingly filled with joy. Thought, now this is far out. But it changed her life forever. And her whole desire after that was, I want to do mission work. And so she went to different mission causes around the world. And she's doing that till this day, and that's probably about 30 years later. now. She's still continuing. And joy is amazing in her life. And love is amazing. She loves people. She loves doing the will of God. Because when you find God, you find love. When you find the Holy Spirit, you find love. Holy Spirit is a gift that all of us can receive. And I believe that God is most pleased to manifest His gifts in the congregation when we come together to praise and to pray and to seek the face of God. We can yield more and more. We can yield and receive more and more of His love by receiving more and more of the Holy Spirit. That's the love infusion that we need. Can you say amen? You see, we can grow to walk in the love of God. We can find God, find the Holy Spirit, but further to that, we can learn to walk in the Holy Spirit. So it's not just a past experience, but it's something that is happening regularly in our lives. We're walking with God, and we're walking with people that walk with God. Now, don't you think that's a good idea, to walk with people that walk with God? Is that confusing to you this morning? I don't think so. You know what I'm talking about. You know, we find the people that are walking with God, and we walk with them as they walk with God. We walk with God as others walk with God. Love-filled churches are awesome. I want to be in a love-filled church. I want to be in a church that is filled with the Spirit, that is filled with love, where the Spirit of God is, where there is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All these good things are there because we're walking in love. We're encountering God, we're encountering the Holy Spirit, and we're walking in it. We're growing into it more and more in our lives. The Philadelphia church was a church that was called the church that was really the church of love. Philadelphia means love. And when we think of that church, we think of how God gave them an open door. It was a church of the open door, and they were an overcoming church. They were overcoming because love was paramount in that church. It was a way of life for the church at Philadelphia. And the doors were open to them to do great things in the earth. And I believe the same for Thrive, as Thrive continues to walk in love, be filled with the knowledge of God's love, it will become more and more powerful. And it'll be said by others as they look at Thrive, behold, have a look how they love one another. How do you want to be seen as an individual? How do you want to be seen as a church? You want to be seen as an individual? Wow. That person loves. You want to be seen as a church? Look at that church. They're crazy about love. They know how to love. They just love one another. And I believe God has given a measure of that to you. Appreciate it and walk in love. Turn to somebody and say, walk in love. The Bible goes on to say, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. From the heart. We're called to love one another deeply. Walking in love with others who walk in the way of love, we will achieve that. Jude verse 20, I'm going to give you another scripture here as we wind things up here today. Jude 20 says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. So how should we walk out our lives? We walk with those who love God. We walk in love. And we walk in such a way that we encourage the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. And we build up ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, it's about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is so willing to produce the love of God in us if we will just come close to Him and walk with Him. We build up ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And then verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't step out of that sphere. Stay in the sphere of where God's love is flowing in your life. And you're there, keeping yourself. Say that with me. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Come on, let's do it real strong now. Keep yourselves in the love of God, or in God's love. Sorry. God, in God's love. Same thing. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Walk in love. Ephesians 5:2. 2 John 1, verse 6 says, this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you've heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. So I encourage you to leave this place today walking in love. Walking in love. My wife and I started dating when we were 5 and 6 years old. That's funny. And actually, we met. Our parents became friends, and she was 5 and I was 6. And then when we got into the teen years, we played together when we were 5 and 6, not that much, once or twice maybe when the families were visiting. But then when we got to be teenagers, we kind of liked each other, and we started walking in love. And over time, we courted for a number of years, and then we were married, and we were walking in love. And decided we might as well make this official. We'll walk in love and be married. And then time went on. We had a family, and now we have passed something like 55 years, and we're still walking together, and we're walking in love. We're not fighting. Oh, we'll have some maybe in-depth discussions occasionally, but that has nothing to do with affecting our love. We love one another even when we have those discussions. If my wife is upset, maybe with something foolish that I did, I repent for it, come back and I say, hey dear, how about a kiss? I just straighten it out right there, and we keep walking in love. I encourage you to walk in love. That's my message. When we were walking in love, our words and our works are good. Our attitudes and actions are loving. Our giving and forgiving will both be there. We work for restitution and reconciliation if something comes between. Kindness and caring are a way of life. And we'll go the extra mile if need be, because we want to keep walking in love. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the way that You love us and shown us that we can walk in love. And Lord, as I'm praying here, it may be that there are some under the sound of my voice who are experiencing something totally different from love. But in their hearts, they really want to know something about real love and love that lasts, love that's eternal. You see, we can come to know eternal life and eternal love by receiving Jesus. Jesus went to the cross to die for us, to forgive us, that we might receive the forgiveness of sins, life eternal. If you're here today and you know in your heart that you need something more than what you have, you know that you need Jesus, you know you need something about the life of God operating in you, I'm going to ask you to join me in this simple prayer of receiving Jesus into your life. Could we all pray this together? Dear Lord, I thank you today that there is hope for all of us by finding eternal life. And this eternal life is in Jesus. So Jesus, we ask that you'd forgive me and that you would come and live in my life. Begin your work in me. Start this eternal work right now. I want to walk with you. I want to walk in love. I want to live a life that is filled with good things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Give him a hand for his goodness and for his love.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Thrive Church. We're so glad that you're here with us today. My name is Rachel, and please let me spend a few minutes to go through some announcements with you and what's coming up here at Thrive. If this is your first time here, we would love to connect with you. We want to give you a Thrive Tumblr to thank you for spending your time with us. Simply visit mythrive.info and click New to Thrive, and we will mail your gift straight to your mailing address. If you're on site with us at Le Pont Place, we're so honored and grateful that you're here. You can pick up your Thrive Tumblr at the Welcome Center by the exit door after the service. There's a saying here at Thrive, and it goes like this: much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. That's right. We want to invite you to the night of prayer and praise happening right here at Le Pont Place on Tuesday, May 28th at 7:30 p.m. This is a perfect opportunity for us to gather together to worship and to pray together. If you want to experience more of the Holy Spirit at work in your life, you've got to be there. So mark down your calendar, and I'll see you on Tuesday, May 28th at 7:30 p.m. for the night of prayer and praise. Last but not least, we want to invite you to join us for the upcoming Thrive Church potluck on Sunday, June 2nd at 1:30 p.m. This is going to be an incredible time of fellowship, food, and fun as we come together to celebrate the amazing community we have here at Thrive. We need your help to make this event a success. Head over to mythrive.info to sign up and let us know what dish you'll be bringing. And if you're short on time or cooking isn't your thing, no worries. You can also choose to make a donation on the sign-up form, and we'll take care of preparing a dish on your behalf. This is going to be so much fun, so make sure you sign up today at mythrive.info. That is all for the announcements today. Don't forget to give your tithes and offering online at mythrive.info to support the missions and the ministries here at Thrive. And if you're new with us today, be sure to visit us at the Welcome Center by the exit door. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to worshiping with you again next Sunday. Bye!